This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. In the annals of economic theory, you've got your lagging indicators, your leading indicators, and then you've got Jay the Butcher.
I think people are not going to restaurants more. They're cooking home more. I actually think that the food business has gained as opposed to lost because of people cutting back on the evenings out and stuff like that. I see a lot more people here than before.
Driving an economy with no windshield, no crystal balls, and rearview mirrors, the challenge of gauging a recession when some statistics look forward and others look backward. Dancing in the dark with the present moment, economically speaking, on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Wednesday, July 15th. I'm John Hockenberry, lagging, of course, on a Wednesday with the perpetually perky and leading Farai today. Good morning, Farai.
Hey, John.
We're also puzzling through the twisted world of word of mouth in the age of Twitter. It's got Hollywood really up in arms. Real voices seeking a recovery all hour long, passing the torch to young leaders at the NAACP convention, celebrating 100 years. But let's look back at what Jay the Butcher had to say for a moment. Lakshman Achajan is Managing Director of Economic Cycles Research Institute, ECRI. It's a market analysis company that forecasts recessions and recoveries. He joins us now. So, Lakshman, is Jay the Butcher a leading indicator in the economy or lagging? What do you think?
I think he's much more coincident. And what we heard just there was, kind of what we've all seen, which is that it's expensive to go out, so we're going to stay home and eat. And this is the so-called value proposition. That's how corporations look at it, hopefully, is that when times are tough, we're all looking for a good deal. We're nesting. And you're seeing all kinds of activities around the home do quite a bit better during tough times.
So the present moment is staying home, but we're going to talk about the challenges of looking ahead or looking behind and knowing which you're doing at any given moment in the economy. Which are you, by the way, out there listening? Are you a lagging indicator, or does your experience suggest what's going to happen in the economy going forward? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And now everything you need to know this morning in the headlines. Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor starts day three of her Senate confirmation hearings. President Obama takes to the Rose Garden today to push for health care legislation. The House has a $1.5 trillion bill on the table. More than 160 people are feared dead in a plane crash in Iran. A Caspian Airlines flight from Tehran went down in the country's northwest. Farai?
Al-Qaeda's number two man tells Pakistanis to join the fight against the U.S. Ayman al-Zawahiri has a new audio message out. He criticizes the Pakistani offensive against militants in the northwest.
There's an update on the case at the suburban Chicago cemetery where workers are accused of dumping bodies to sell more plots. The local sheriff wants a court to appoint someone to run the graveyard during the very troubling investigation. Wall Street nudged up yesterday. The major indices gained a third to a half of a percent. Today, the Dow starts trading at 83.59, the S&P 905, the Nasdaq kicks off at 17.99. What does the president have to say about the recession?
Historically, even after you start moving into a recovery, positive growth, hiring typically lags.
So jobs are a lagging indicator. What are you, a lagging indicator or a leading indicator in this economy, in this recession? Tell us your experience at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. Boy, they had a great present moment over at Goldman Sachs yesterday, wouldn't you say?
Yes, present as in wrapped up in a bow.
Right. Farai Chidea is with me, and we're talking about Goldman Sachs' present moment. They did $3.44 billion of business in the latest quarter. Is that an indication of future good tidings for the bank? Is it a leading indicator or is it a lagging indicator that Goldman did some great stuff and the future of the economy is anybody's bet? That's really the story this morning, and it's what we're talking about, leading and lagging economic indicators. It makes all the difference whether you're looking ahead or looking behind, and what numbers you're looking at determine whether you're facing the rearview mirror or looking clearly through the windshield at what's ahead in the economy. Continuing now with Lakshman Ashutan, who's managing director of ECRI, Economic Cycles Research Institute, a market analysis company that forecasts recessions and recoveries. Lakshman, thanks so much for being here.
Sure.
And, you know, what kinds of statistics that we report on every month look forward and what ones look behind? The president seems to think that employment indicators are always lagging indicators. Is that your view?
Yeah, they're roughly coincident to lagging. It depends what you're looking at. The unemployment rate is lagging. Headline payroll jobs, like how many you lost or how many you gained each month, that's roughly coincident. You can't have an end to the recession unless you actually get some jobs growth.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to have to see that. But we recently had a monthly jobs report that came in weaker than expected, and all of a sudden all the green shoots that were out there died, right? And everybody said – and the stock market stopped going up, and it used to be on a tear. And so everybody said, well, you know, this recession's with us. It's not going away at all. And that is a lot of rear view or side window looking. You're not looking out the windshield in front of you.
And it's losing the signal for the noise of the numbers day to day. And that's really the challenge.
Absolutely.
Here.
The consensus, there's a widespread inability to distinguish among leading coincident and lagging indicators. And also, there's an overweight attention put on anything that is new. Because basically, like 99% of the news out there is not leading, okay? And
right.
But it's new. But it's new.
But
news,
it is new.
Right?
I see.
And so just because it's new, which is, oh, the jobs in June were weak, or, oh, you know, Intel last quarter did a little bit better, that scene is somewhat forward-looking. Has nothing to do with the future.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your forecast that was reported on this program yesterday by Dan Gross of Newsweek, who said you have the best look forward of anybody because you've been doing it for longer than anyone and taking data that goes way, way, way back.
Right.
You think that the recession is going to end when, and when are we going to feel it?
When are you going to feel it? Okay, those are two different times, okay? By April, looking at these leading indicators, and, you know, look, to be fair, this is not something I came up with. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants from a couple of generations before me, going back to the booms and busts that occurred before the Great Depression. And there's a sequence of events of leading indicators and then coincident indicators that have remained durable all that time. And those began rising very convincingly at the beginning of the year. By April, it was clear the recession would be over this summer. I don't think the man in the street will feel that until the fall when they're looking in the rearview mirror, because really your gut feel is a rearview mirror feel.
What about sub-demographics? You know, you have America at large, but you also have, you know, teens who are, you know, 18, 19 who have to work. You have recent college graduates, people of color, et cetera. Do you have any idea how any of those groups might be affected by this, you know, emerging recovery, hopefully?
There's going to be some echoes of what we saw in the last recovery. If you recall, following the 2001 recovery, it was a jobless recovery. It was tough. And I suspect this time around we're going to have echoes of that. If you're exposed to the manufacturing sector, it's not going to feel good anytime soon, even though technically the recession is going to end. If you're a man or a minority, you'll probably have a little bit tougher go because so many of these kind of hands-on construction, manufacturing type industries are really going to hurt for a while. Women may do a little bit better.
Here's what one African-American man had to say about this lagging indicator.
The hard truth is that some of the jobs that have been lost in the auto industry and elsewhere won't be coming back.
So permanent job losses, that's something we do have to
focus on. Yeah, he's spot on right there because
President Obama, of
President
course.
Obama.
I don't see any axle grease under his finger.
No, not at all.
Well, you know, here's the cold, hard facts. Over the last 10 years, 10 years ago, we had 18 million manufacturing jobs. Today, we have 12 million. We've lost a third of them. They're never coming back. That type of experience is probably repeating right now into the recovery.
All right, well, we're going to hear voices of people having that experience and talk a little more about this in just a moment. But, of course, lots more news, and we shift down to Washington. Farai?
Thanks, John. And it is day three of Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor's Senate confirmation hearings. And joining us once again is Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. He's been at the hearings on Capitol Hill. Morning.
Morning, Farai.
So Sotomayor's wise Latina comment has drawn lots of attention. So how did the Republicans quiz her about it? How did she respond?
She had to respond to the wise Latina remark, but not just the remark, but the remark in context, the suggestion that not just that you need more women and minorities on the bench, but that they would somehow rule in a way that's better than all of the old white guys that are on the bench. She had to answer questions about the Second Amendment, about abortion, but the wise Latina remark really did get a lot of attention. I have a cut here from Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He went right at the nominee. Listen to this.
Do you understand, ma'am, that if I had said anything like that, and my reasoning was that I'm trying to inspire somebody, they would have had my head. Do you understand that?
Almost a lecture. I mean, he almost lectured her that if he is a white guy had said that.
Poor white guy. Yeah.
Well, Lindsey Graham has said things like this before, but he went right at her and made her answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you feeling me? And she had a response.
The words I chose, taking the rhetorical flourish, is a bad idea. I do understand that. There are some who have read this differently, and I understand why they might have concern, but I have repeated more than once, and I will repeat throughout, if you look at my history on the bench, you will know that I do not believe that any ethnic, gender, or race group has an advantage in sound judging.
And, you know, Todd, although she said that, there have been hints, even from President Obama, that he believes that people who've had hard life experiences or who've, you know, overcome their backgrounds may have a sense of empathy that is greater. And so Senator John Kyle from Arizona asked Sotomayor whether or not she agreed with President Obama's statements on empathy. So what happened there?
Well, empathy has been what wise Latina has been one of the buzzwords of this of these proceedings, and empathy has been one of the other ones. And you're right. The president has said that the law gets you most of the way when you're a judge. The law is very clear. You rule according to the law. And there's part of it. He uses a marathon metaphor. There's a little part of it that's about your experiences and your empathy for the litigants. And that drives Republicans crazy. It drives John Kyle crazy. Listen to what he said to the nominee on the empathy question.
Do you agree with him that the law only takes you the first 25 miles of the marathon and that last mile has to be decided by what's in the judge's heart?
No, sir. I wouldn't approach the issue of judging in the way the president does. He has to explain what he meant by judging. I can only explain what I think judges should do, which is judges can't rely on what's in their heart. They don't determine the law. Congress makes the laws. The job of a judge is to apply the law.
All right, so John Kyle, that was meant to placate Republicans like John Kyle. And then they're keeping score and sort of giving a sense of where they might be going today when there's more questioning today and possibly tomorrow. We met with John Kyle, a couple of reporters afterward, to find out what he thought about her answer. She doesn't agree with the president. She agrees with Kyle.
It would be an argument to vote for her that she has disagreed with the president and agreed with me on the proper standard for judging. So I count that as a check mark on the plus side. I take it as a check mark on the sort of plus side that she acknowledged her word choice was poor. But I think that it was far more than word choice. I think she had a point to make in those speeches. She made it. She made it at least three times. She wrote a law review article about it. It's not something that she didn't give a lot of consideration to.
Oh, this is such a moronic argument, it seems. Kyle knows exactly what she said. She wasn't saying that Hispanic women are better than anybody else. I think this is ridiculous. The senators are embarrassing me.
John, there was some interesting back and forth on that issue, because especially when – if you go back, actually, I don't know how much of Kyle's question period you got to consume yesterday, but it actually is pretty interesting because they go through it – he goes through it in a pretty specific way and makes a pretty strong case that she was saying that those rulings by a Latina woman would be better, not different, but better.
Right.
And she said it more than once. So they want to get to the bottom of it. As annoying as it is, they did make – they're all lawyers, man. They're all prosecutors. They made
all
a decent case.
Well, Todd, we look forward to more of your reports, and you're covering the hearings live on Twitter for The Takeaway, or, you know, go to thetakeaway.org. Thanks, Todd.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.